Welcome back to KFUO, the messenger of good news. Worldwide proclamation of the gospel for you, and especially on this Thanksgiving weekend, we thank our God for what he's done for us in Jesus Christ our Lord, which indeed inspires us to go out and help others. And that brings us to a special guest I have with me in studio right now, Mr. Chris Sherman, a member of Messiah Lutheran Church in the Tower Grove area of St. Louis, and executive director of a new group, a new nonprofit called the Lutheran Development Group. What we're going to do is talk for a few minutes about how this came to be and the work they're doing now, renovating 47 apartments in the Tower Grove East and Fox Park neighborhoods. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So I lived in St. Louis for about 3 years for seminary. Now I'm back, and I never really got down into this area, the Tower Grove area, much. So talk a little bit about what makes this area unique in the St. Louis area. It's clearly not, you know, like West County.
No, it's not. That's for sure. That's actually where I grew up, was out Manchester area. I went to St. Paul de Pere, and but when I graduated from college and married my wife, we decided we wanted to be in the city, and didn't know exactly why, but we just felt we needed to be there. The Tower Grove area, there's Tower Grove Park off of Grand. It goes from Kings Highway to Grand. It's a little bit south of the SLU, St. Mm-hmm. Louis University yep. area. So a lot of people will probably know where that is. It's a neighborhood that was built, around 1900, and things were very different then. You didn't have cars to the same extent that you do now. It was much more walkable. You had to walk to shops. You had to walk to grocery stores. So the built environment is very different than the area I grew up in, and it affects how you live your life.
Right. I remember I spent some time in Western Philadelphia, just outside the city, but that just inside the city space, which had maybe been the suburbs in like the 50s, mm-hmm. kind of had this feel like this is supposed to be nice housing. But over time, it often was not updated and became just these row houses that some of them were very well taken care of, some of them weren't, but the neighborhood then declined. And you still could see some life in it. People still lived there, but there was a lot of walking. You didn't seem to have a place to put your car, things like that. Is that kind of the same situation? Or
it depends on where you're at. Like where I'm at, it's just a wonderful neighborhood. We've been there now for 12 years.
Okay.
And we've seen a lot of, reinvestment, economic growth in the area, but it still is an area. So although it's, I would say, nice, wonderful park to walk through, I have several different playgrounds that I can walk to with my kids.
Well, that's great, yeah.
I'm able to walk to church. Don't always do it because sometimes you're running late.
Yeah, sure.
Just get over there real quick. And we can walk to, neighborhood cafes. It's a really nice place to live.
Okay, so sort of like what do they call it, regentrifying almost, right?
Yeah, it's tough terms because I would say that it is stabilized.
Okay.
You need to have, in a neighborhood like that, multiple income levels.
And right.
That's where it is more differentiating from a lot of other, more suburban places. You have the poor. You have
right.
the homeless. You also have, CEOs of companies all living in close proximity to one another. And, when you live like that, the need is right there.
Right. It's like a village.
Yeah, it is. It's almost like a small town with big city amenities.
Okay.
And it's unique.
So how does Messiah fit into that picture then?
You have a church that it's kind of funny that I guess when Messiah started right after 19, oh, I don't even know. It was around, I think, 1906 or something like that. It started in a storefront.
It's a storefront
wow.
yeah,
church
yeah, yeah.
down in Grand, and promptly grew into, a big, a big church body and a big, beautiful facility, and was the center of life for a lot of people within that neighborhood. You think people would walk to church, or I hear stories, some people had their chauffeurs take them and drop them off. I wonder where the chauffeurs went to church.
Yeah, was, seriously.
But, different time, I guess. But, it was the center of life there. And for a lot of us, there are a lot of people that go to church there that live in the neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
can walk to church. And you see a lot of the same people people who go to church together, you'll see each other at the grocery store, people that, go to the same coffee shop, you'll see each other at the park. It is much more like, that small town feel. Not to romanticize it too much, but you do get a sense
right.
of that.
Right. Well, everywhere that you can live will have problems. There will be things
oh,
that
yeah.
you don't like about it. But many people kind of, well, at least in the last 50 years in the United States, have fled city life for various reasons. And yet there is a rediscovery of that. There's a real value in that, in not having huge fences between you and your neighbors, in having like an actual community. Now, one of the things then that's happened, though, is you guys have seen that there is a need in this community, and you've begun and taken steps and now to become a nonprofit. It's not no joke to meet that need. Can you tell me what were the things that brought you to the point where you believed as a group or as an individual that you needed to take these steps to make the Lutheran Development Group happen?
Yeah, so what I should say is that Lutheran Development Group has grown out of the efforts at Messiah. We were funded through Lutheran Foundation of St. Louis through a grant that was applied for through Messiah. But it all comes from the current housing development that Messiah is doing and recognizing that there's a great deal of value here, and it would be good to set up an organization that can replicate this and bring this to other communities.
Do it again. So what are you then doing with these 47 places?
Good question. We are at Messiah just a few blocks away from the International Institute, which is a group that brings people in from other countries, refugees from, you know, just coming from challenging situations, and places them, you know, often, not always, but often in South St. Louis, you know, close to Messiah. Messiah has had a long history of, at one point we called ourselves a church for all nations.
Sure.
And, you know, that's still very much
true. You'd hope that'd be of every church, but it's not always the case.
But when it's in your neighborhood, when you have so many different people economically and racially and from different countries all living close to one another, it just kind of, well, it has a better opportunity to happen.
The world at your doorstep.
Exactly. So we have people from all kinds of different nations in our church. And what prompted the need, or this discovery of the need for better housing to be available that's affordable for people, but still, you know, safe for raising your family. We have some friends within the congregation that they're ethnically Nepalese from Bhutan, and when they were placed here, the housing that they were placed into, there were challenges with the housing.
Right.
There was, some concern about the lead levels for their kid, and he's now doing very well. But that prompted the question of, you know, what can be done.
Right.
And there's so much more need beyond what we're able to do.
Sure.
But this was a call to action here now. Probably it's been about 3 years in the making, but we were able to talk to different consultants, different partners for this, and assemble what is a low-income housing tax credit project, along with historic tax credits and all kinds of other things that make your head spin.
Yeah, sure.
And at the end of it, we have 12 buildings spread out all in walking distance to Messiah. Some are a longer walk, but they're all in walking distance to Messiah. And they spread over the neighborhood, and within that is 47 apartments and one commercial storefront where we plan to and will be offering a variety of services to the community.
Wow. And you're doing more than just taking the lead paint off the walls.
Oh, no. Yes. These are full gut renovations of these historic buildings. And it's expensive to do all this, but that's why you have all these incentives that help you do it. So everything is, it becomes like a new building. So it looks beautiful and historic on the outside, and then everything on the inside is new. So you have new roofs, everything is fully insulated. It has to meet a high standard for energy efficiency. So when it's all done, people have, these are for rent apartments.
Right.
So it's not like they're just being
given away. Right.
Because we'd have problems with our lenders at that point.
Yeah, sure, sure.
But they are much more affordable than what is otherwise available. So what you end up having is something that's much nicer, much more energy efficient, which is a big deal. You can have a cheap apartment, but then you're paying $300 a month in utilities.
Right.
It doesn't seem so cheap anymore.
My first call in New Jersey, when we were missionaries, we had an apartment that was medium in this little town that was kind of a tourist trap of sorts. But I remember that winter, we had one electric bill because we had these electric baseboard heaters. It was $800.
Yeah.
Just, and we were at like 67 degrees in the house, right? Yeah. And we're freezing. And we're like, well, that's half my paycheck, you know? And so I can only imagine. And then as an immigrant, I had a job, you know? I had a marketable skill. They're coming in trying to find their way, learn a new language, fit into this community. Now that is interesting. Do they have support from their immigrant communities, the cultures that they're finding in this area? Do you find that they segment themselves, or is this area homogeneized, not change who they are, but interact with each other a lot?
I think it'd be hard to come up with one rule for entire groups of people, but there is a tendency that if you get a concentration of people that have the same background, that they're likely to be interacting with one another and to find strength in that, you know, that culture and that community. At the same time, there is an assimilation that happens, especially over a couple of generations. It's a blending. There's a lot of folks from the Nepalese population that are, they're finding, decent jobs in the community. My daughter goes to preschool that is, a lot of the people that are working there are Nepalese and providing just a loving and caring environment for my daughter. So.
Which is cool, because that is the American dream then there a little bit too, that you come, you find work, and you join this idea that anyone who wants to work can build a better life here.
I think that can happen in St. Louis, not to cut you off, but it's things are affordable enough in the city, and there are opportunities there that you can live a very nice life with your neighbors that you can have that dream.
So what brought Chris Sherman to care about these things?
I grew up in the suburbs, and my dad used to take me to, all kinds of places in the city, museums, restaurants, neighborhoods, things like that.
Right.
He was, born and initially raised up in North City, and my grandpa was at Bethlehem growing up, and then the family's at Pilgrim, and there's all these old connections going back, and something just clicked. Around high school, that's where I wanted to be.
Right.
So out of college, I got a job working for a developer doing loft developments downtown, and was like, oh, I'm going to fix these buildings, we're going to fix the city. And
right.
I was so naive. I had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah.
It was an education. It was a learning experience. And after that, my wife and I decided, well, maybe what we need is just places for community. So we opened up a cafe and coffee shop.
Huh.
And we have one in our community not far from Messiah. And I got very much involved in that, because you wanted to have that connection to people. And
right.
But there is this, you need to have this interaction between, you need to have facilities, you need to have homes, you need to have buildings for the people, and it all goes together.
Right.
But then with Messiah, we saw this need, and the church stepped up, and the church borrowed from LCEF to get a pre-development loan and put themselves out there to meet this need. And we have had, great people working on this, great partners with Rise Community Development, is a nonprofit partner that's been helping us through all this and navigating a lot of the challenges and the financing and things
right.
like that. But the church saw a need and stepped up, and now we're hoping to move forward to help other communities as well.
And mercy in action. Christ has shown us mercy, and we are compelled, really, to love neighbor. When sin is always with us, our selfishness is always with us, but the hunger to love is a wonderful part of Christianity. With just about 30 seconds left here, if someone wanted to get involved and help the Lutheran Development Group, where would they find you online?
We have a website, LDG, Lutheran Development Group, STL.org. So that's probably the best place to go. And then my email, to throw it out there, is chris@ldgstl.org. There's plenty of ways for people to be helpful in the community with Messiah or Lutheran Development Group or any of the other things going on in South City.
Excellent. This is love. Not that we love him, but that he loved us. And nonetheless, that example, which saves us, compels us to love our neighbor. Talking about that this Thanksgiving weekend here on Worldwide KFUO His Time, I'm your host, Reverend Jonathan Fisk.